A Garden of Grace. St. Kateri learned from Anastasia the order of religious exercises at the Praying Castle, never failed in regular attendance at the chapel, and became the most fervent spirit in that devout community. At the first dawn of day, after having said their private morning prayers in the cabins, they were accustomed to assemble at the chapel to visit the Blessed Sacrament. If there happened to be a Mass at that hour, they stayed to hear it, and then returned to their cabins. At sunrise, the regular daily Mass for the Indians was said. At this they all assisted, chanting Iroquois hymns and other prayers, including the Creed and the Ten Commandments. These sacred songs were intoned by the catechist and sung by alternate choirs of men and women. The Indians never tired of singing, and the hymns prepared for them in their own language were full of instruction. In this way they learned in a very short time the laws of Christian morality and the mysteries of the faith. The missionaries were accustomed to hold frequent conferences on religion. Objections to doctrine were raised by one of the audience and answered either by the priest or the catechist. Instead of referring to books, which the Indians could not read, sets of pictures were shown to them. These proved exceedingly useful, and they soon learned to carry on conferences among themselves in the absence of the missionary. Many converts from paganism were made in this way. The people of the mission, though unable to read or write, were thoroughly instructed Christians, and on more than one occasion the white men were put to shame by their greater integrity, morality, and piety of these fervent converts. After the morning Mass, when the men and women went off to work in the fields or cabins, the children were gathered into the chapel and instructed orally. Three times a day the Angelus sounded from the little belfry, and each time the headers of moccasins and the tillers of cornfields, the hunter starting out with his weapons or bringing in the trophies of the chase, the children and the warriors bowed their heads in prayer. They knew the Angelus by heart and prayed it faithfully. St. Kateri prayed the Angelus also and recited the litanies of the Blessed Mother nightly. All carried the rosary, wearing it around their necks or wound about the head like a coronet. Hers was often in her hands. These Indians understood only their own language. Thus ordinary prayers were all translated from them from the French or Latin into Iroquois. Father Cholinek, to whose care St. Kateri had been so particularly commended, watched her actions closely during the first few months of her life at the mission, as he was the one to decide how soon she would be permitted to receive Holy Communion. She cared for nothing so much in all the world as to hasten, by every means in her power, the day of her first communion. During the day, she would take little breaks from her work to go and be with Jesus Christ at the foot of the altar. In the evening, she returned again to the church and did not leave it until the night was far advanced. When engaged in her prayers, she seemed entirely unconscious of what was passing about her, and in a short time the Holy Spirit raised her to so sublime a devotion that she often spent many hours in intimate communion with God. To this inclination for prayer, she joined an almost unceasing application to labor. She always ended the week by an exact investigation of her faults and imperfections, that she might efface them by the sacrament of penance. To this preparation, she also performed different mortifications with which she afflicted her body, and when she accused herself of faults, even the most slight, it was with such vivid feelings of compunction that she shed tears, and her words were choked by sighs and sobbings. The love and reverence she had for God made her regard the least offense with horror. St. Kateri's first communion was made on Christmas Day. This was a privilege not normally accorded without some years of probation and trials, but her piety placed her beyond the ordinary rules. Her fervor did not slacken afterwards. She was allowed to make her second Holy Communion at Easter. Father Fremin, her former guest of the Mohawk Valley, soon admitted her, without the customary delay, into the confraternity of the Holy Family. This honor was usually accorded only to well-tried and thoroughly instructed Christians. The meetings of the confraternity filled up the hours each Sunday afternoon, and the members of it were expected to reproduce in their own homes, as far as possible, the family life of the three who dwelt together in the holy house at Nazareth, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Saint Joseph was held up as a model for the men, the Blessed Virgin Mary for the women, and the child Jesus for the children. Saint Kateri had no sorrows at this time save one. Her nearest kindred still rejected and scorned the faith that was more dear to her than life. For their sins, and for her own, she suffered and prayed. 5 times a day she knelt in the mission chapel and pleaded with God for the pagan Indians, her friends, and her kindred. Despite the fact that she could have grown rich on account of her skills at craft, she lived in poverty. She worked freely for all. She only had what was necessary for her own support and was never a burden to those with whom she dwelt. She often fasted till evening, even when hard at work, and then, if unobserved, would mingle ashes with her food, that it might be devoid of everything that could afford pleasure to the taste.